Is that restaurant with that chef? Go on in then.
Because we've got a table with your name on it. And when you tuck into your tuna tostada and salsa verde.
Your starter, sir.
Followed by chicken quesadilla, then mango cheesecake.
Mmm.
Enjoy savings off your bill. With Amex offers, perks are pretty tasty. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
18 plus, subject to status. Enrollment required. T's and C's and eligibility apply.
And Away We Go with Georgia King is a brand new travel podcast only on Wondery Plus. Each week, celebrity tour guides will whisk you away to their favourite places in the world with intimate, hilarious, heartwarming conversations that remind us of the power of travel to bring us together. Listen to And Away We Go with Georgia King exclusively with Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, the hilarious and charming, the wonderful, the irrepressible, Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Oh, hello. Oh, yeah.
Great, thanks. Ronnie is broadcasting from Texas today. Today is a Texas day. And just wanted to put that out there so everyone knows exactly where we are.
I
want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Things are going great. Everything's great here. I watched my family eat the biggest fucking dead cow I've ever seen in my life last night. Texans and their meat. Oh my God, it was huge.
What
man.
A dream.
When I tell you the murder was huge, it was a giant murder.
I would have loved that. Some fun things. First and foremost, we just recorded an interview with the one, the only Countess Luanne de Lesseps. So we're going to have that up at some point. So everyone look forward to that. It was really fun. I, of course, fanboyed. I was unapologetic about my fanboying. And second of all, we're here today to record Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Supersize recap. Was there other stuff that we have to promote, Ronnie? I forget.
Nah, fuck it. So here we are with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You know, I have to give this show credit. The newbies on this show really come in and just start working right away. They don't
sit
around. Now, I'm not talking to you, Maylee. Okay, you're not doing a whole lot.
That's
but
okay.
You are a friend of. So Maylee's just sitting there for right now. But the other two just came right in. And you know, it's proof that it gets you somewhere. Because as Ben just told me before we started this, Angie, I am Greek, said in an interview that she cried when she saw that she was getting the center snowflake. And Angie was one of the ones who came in and immediately was like, what did you say about my husband? Or whatever. Like starting fights right worked. Away. Yeah.
She you know what? She showed up in season three and was like, I will be center snowflake someday. And she did it. She got all the way to the top. I dreamed it for you. Zorba.
For those of you wondering what the hell that is, it's from a musical called Gypsy. Ben watched it for the first time this weekend. So I would like to thank Ben's partner, Dom, for making that happen. I've been begging for that to happen for years. Next up, hopefully Steel Magnolias. But for now, we have.
Yeah. I didn't realize you were begging me to. I apologize. I didn't realize that you were wanting me to watch Gypsy so badly. I knew that you loved it, but I didn't. If I had known, Ronnie, I would have fast tracked it.
Wasn't that sweet? It's like citizenship. Okay, so here we are. We start with Bronwyn and Lisa driving in Lisa's G-Wagon.
Yeah, there's pink lights. The modern cars these days, even my Kia has like a little color scheme on the inside that you can change. So I guess that right now it's pink on the inside. Mm-hmm. And Bronwyn's loving it. And so Lisa's like, yeah, it's pink. Yeah. Hey, what did you think about last night? And Bronwyn's like, so I was like unprepared. And Lisa's like, I didn't know what was happening with you on Bratnar. And Brittany is like, the new friend of, by the way, just so people don't forget.
She's like, yeah, she came in a little hot with me, and more so with Mare. Listen, with me and Mare, you cannot just call things costumes. I mean, who does that? Don't do that with me and my girl Mare.
Yeah, we don't like that. Okay, like that was like a lot for me for 30 seconds into meeting someone, but like actually I'm like still starving from last night. Like I like literally couldn't eat.
And she's like, oh my god, that was a lot. So then we see the fight from this most recent episode where everybody went at Whitney, and it was so fun. I just loved it. And Kyle, I hope you're next. Kyle and Beverly, I just feel like some people have had it coming for years and never get it. And she got it finally. Now, she didn't care, really. It didn't really affect her. And I guess that's good, because we couldn't feel good about it if she left there crying. Like, that really hurt my feelings. But she didn't, so it was fun. It was like fun sport. So anyway, we see a flashback of that and everybody going on, you know, about Whitney. And then Bronwyn was like, I feel like you were right about most of what you were saying, though. Am I right? I mean, I think that, like, I was just more worried about the fact that I love Whitney. And, like, I don't think that she was getting that she wasn't helping Whitney as much as that she was upsetting you and Heather. And I really don't want her upsetting you and Heather.
Wait, hold on. My phone's ringing. Can you hold on for 1 second? Can you be quiet for 1 second? It's Angie K calling, and we're going to set her up because she's going to say something like really mean about you, and she won't know that you're there, and it's going to be hilarious. Okay, hold on. Quiet. Okay. Hey, Ange. How's it going?
Baklava. I'm sorry. Me I was too. Still doing my ringtone that I have every time I call you.
Yeah, that's great. So what's up? Hello?
That was it. I just wanted to talk about baklava.
Okay. And she's like,
she's just like, you want to get lunch? Right.
Yeah. She's like, you want to get lunch? And Lisa's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm running some errands in this empty car. So if you want to say something, now's the time to say something. And I'll text you as soon as I'm done. Is that cool?
And you should like, say something incriminating right now, Ange. Say it right now, Ange. She's like, nope. Just wanted to say, I love honey poured over very thin bread. Very thin flaky dough.
Milo, that away somewhere. So then Bronwyn
you know
is
that
like,
Lisa does suck as a friend, okay? Now, Lisa's a great housewife, but here's how you know that she sucks as a friend. Someone calls you to say, hey, we got in a fight. I'd rather we didn't fight. Can we go hang out? Let's have a talk. And she goes, you know what? I'm running errands, but I'll text you. The fuck does that mean? Yes or no? Tell me 1 p.m. Don't just put me on hold all day. Now she's making this poor girl wait all day to have the pleasure of meeting up. I don't like that.
Yeah. So then Angie hangs up and Bronwyn is like, were you expecting that? And Lisa goes, no. I think she thought that that Angie was going to call and go off on her, maybe like hit Bronwyn with a stray. She was clearly setting Angie up to like embarrass herself. And Angie was like, so do you want to meet at Golden Corral?
What? She's going to call and make excuses. I can't wait to get together and apologize to you. Damn it. All right. I guess we'll do that then. So we go over to Whitney's new row farmhouse thing, and they're moving in. And I don't know why I'm so offended about the row farmhouses. They just look like such weird tract homes. They just like drop off little bits of Joanna Gaines's spirit. You know what I mean? So she's there, and Bobby's one kid is knocking a soccer ball into the wall, which guess what? That just earned you a spanking. Welcome back to the 70s where we still spank children. And Bobby is just wandering around wasted. She's like, wait, where are all these books? These old people books? Bobby, did you get into the Pepsi again? Yes. She said it. It's a free country.
All right, Bobby, I'm going to give you this book. It's called Get Your Shit Together. It's about you and soda consumption. Okay, think about it.
You're going to have to go through the 12 steps. Fuck it, I ain't going through 12 nothing. I got a golf cart. I'll drive through them. Just show me the 12 steps. I'll drive around.
Bobby just drives through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
All right, here's some 7-Up. So then we go to Angie's house, and she's with Sean. And she's like, well, I felt bad for Whitney last night. They were all ganging up on her. Poor Whitney. And Lisa was not supporting her. And then she lunged forward at me at the table, and she got really aggressive with me, Sean.
Well, it's an intimidation tactic, and you can't allow her to just do that.
Was Meredith there? Was iconic Meredith Marks there? Was Meredith Mother Marks there?
I need to tell her how I feel. I need to continue to be more honest with her and see where it goes. And he goes, that sounds great. Hey, hon, could you send a care package to this side of the California King mattress? It's been so long since I've eaten.
So then we go to Mary's house with Robert Jr. And she's like, last night, one of the girls said I was poor. They said I was poor, okay?
She goes, Robert Jr. is like, she doesn't even know you. Yeah, don't ever call me poor, because like that's being ungrateful to God. He's like, yeah. Okay, well, forget it. That's a whole other, yeah, it's crazy, Mom.
It's literally just like, you just see his eyes turn off. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, the power's like, out. Yeah. It's like you've only paid a quarter for this much power, you know, and it's just fading to an end.
And there's like donuts, so he takes two, and she's like horrified that he's taking two donuts. Like her eyes do the Mary Cosby bulge. And she basically tells us that Robert is at home and not in college. And basically he's just doing nothing. And she's like, yeah, he's very sheltered, and I feel like that's my fault. And so that's why I don't mind him staying at home.
Yeah. And she says, so one day
like, I created this mess.
Not now. Yeah, she loves it. She's codependent with her son, you know? That's how she likes it. So, I mean,
it's also funny.
To each their own.
Yes. And it's also funny, sorry to interrupt, that, again, I'm like on the crazy, like caffeine high right now.
How we communicate.
But I know, but I'm like a lunatic right now. But this scene was funny because it was all of like 15 seconds long, and they put up the thing that said, Mary, like it was going to be a whole big scene. And it goes for 15 seconds. Her son grabs two donuts. She bulges her eyes. And then it just goes to like Lisa. And it goes, Lisa. And we just never go back to Mary's scene. It's just like, oh, this is all we've got for Mary. Like, she's a full housewife, so we have to give her a title card. But this is really all we have this episode. So here it is.
So then we're back with Lisa and Bronwyn, and they're talking about Gwen, her daughter, Bronwyn's daughter. And she's like, yeah, Gwen wants to open a coffee shop. Can you believe it? I mean, what a wacky, wild girl. It's incredible. And Lisa's like, oh my God, I love Gwen.
I love that idea. A shop for serving heathens. And Bronwyn's like, yeah, it's going to be like so cute. Like, yeah, it's going to be like so stylish. It's going to be like the Lisa Barlow of coffee shops.
That's true, huh? It's like these ex-Mormons. I love that they're all still so innocent. That it's like, we're leaving Mormonism. Hey, Mormonism, suck my dick. I'm going to open a coffee shop. It's like, wow. It's like a Christian opening a whorehouse, you know? But to them, it's like, coffee. We're giving the world caffeine. Suck it, Joseph Smith.
Did, wait, is Bronwyn an ex-Mormon? I forget. I know that she like flunked out of BYU, but is she like, is she no longer Mormy?
I think she says it in here somewhere, doesn't she?
I don't remember. I just don't remember.
I don't know. She doesn't have enough punchlines to make me pay that close attention, to be honest. Like, I know that a bunch of people are like, oh my God, Bronwyn's amazing. Look at her clothes. And I get that that's kind of a part of housewives. It worries me because those housewives are never, ever, ever my favorite. I mean, it's like the Erica Janes of the, it's like, look how much money I put, you know, some old dude for it, which I just don't love. I have a feeling I'm going to like her in the future, but right now I'm undecided. I'll just say I'm undecided.
I have to say,
my point is I'm not really paying attention. I don't know if she was ex-Mormon, if she's currently Mormon. I do know that her daughter is basically Pablo Escobar of Utah opening a coffee shop. So take that for what you're
I doing. Know Jen Affleck won't be visiting. I have to say, I'm normally the sort of person where I'm like, your personality can't just be your fashions. Like, if that's all you have to offer, that's not enough for me. But that being said, I actually really like Bronwyn a lot, because I actually do think she has more than just her fashions. I thought she was like funny, and she got spicy. Like, she had her first chance to be spicy, and she was spicy, and she was good about her spiciness.
Mm-hmm. I think she handled that stuff well. Yeah, her first arguments and stuff.
I liked her. I'm so far. I'm like, and I like the way she giggles at things. So
I'm not a hater. I'm just a waiter.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? I'm not hating. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting patiently on the roadside, yeah, hoping that someone picks me up and shows me a good time.
Mm-hmm. Test period. It's a test period. You're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't want to fall into that trap where I'm like, oh my god, mother icon, you know, because she wore a couple of expensive things, and then I look like an idiot in 3 weeks when she turns out to be a monster. You know, I'm just waiting. So it's like fishing. It's like our version of fishing. You know, you just sit there and you wait. You see some fish jump, but you could get a bigger fish. You know, so you're just waiting. Who's the bigger fish, Brittany or Bronwyn? Not you're you, Maylee. Sit down.
poor Maylee.
Maylee has promise. She's just not delivering anything yet.
It's a lot because you have Bronwyn, who's new. You also have Brittany, who's kind of like Fomona, you know? And so that's like a lot of personalities to sort of just like compete with.
Yeah. So they're talking about this girl, Gwen, and her drug addiction / coffee shop. And then Lisa talks about how much she, like, Gwen's so cool. She doesn't even know who she likes more, Bronwyn or Gwen. So now we're talking about Heather's, and she's like, have you ever seen Heather's home? And Bronwyn was like, no, I've never been to Heather's. Oh my god, this house is beautiful. Wow, what a house. Wow, Heather. Wow.
I never knew someone could repurpose a public library into a house, but this brick building, you have done it.
So Heather comes out, they honk for her, and she's like, I have not been honked at in such a long time. It's been like since I was a teenager.
It's horrifying. So I'm like, you actually probably have been honked at by Monica driving by, honking, like, hey, bitch. Honk, honk.
It made me think of all the times that I've honked at people as an adult. I'm like, am I just immature? I mean, how else do you tell people? I guess you text them and tell them I'm here, but I don't rely on people to check their texts, you know? I honk. Mm. I will honk. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You're a pull into the driveway and do a little honk, like a little double honk or something?
I'll try a text, but if the text doesn't work within like 30 seconds, I start honking, yeah. One.
Why can't...
One, two. One, two, three. One, two. Yeah.
Why? Okay. Car manufacturers have done so many things with cars. They have created it so that way, like, you can have a display in your car to see what is around your car. Like, it has, like, AI generated, you know, cameras. It has rear cameras. It has this sensor, that sensor. They have put in so much technology into cars. Why can they not put in different cadences of horns? Why can't there be a friendly horn? And why can't there be a move horn? Like, get the fuck out of my way horn. Why do we just have one horn? Because one of the reasons why I don't like to honk like a hello is I'm always afraid that people think I'm honking hostily. And I'm like, I would like a friendly horn.
Supposed to do that with your cadence and your pressure,
like the little beep, so, right? Like a boop, boop.
Right. Yours always sounds nice, even when you're mad. Yours is like, burp. You're like, I'm gonna kill this woman in front of me. I cannot believe this bit.
oh yeah,
but your horn would also go. You know, it could sound like that. You just don't. It's the puppeteer, not the puppet. You know.
Well, no. So here's my issue. If you're driving on the street and you see a friend on the sidewalk, you happen to see a friend on the sidewalk, so you honk to get their attention. Like, you, that's all you can do is honk.
You should have a button that's like, hey, girl.
Exactly. You really should. Girl. Because if I'm driving and I see someone, I'm like, I go, bump, bump. So the person in front of me is going to be like, what the fuck? I'm driving normally. And I'm like, no. I see my friend Joanne over there.
Yeah, it's like my little Mr. T keychain I got 1 year for my birthday that has little buttons that you press, and they all have different Mr. T lines. Like, one is like, what you talking about, fool? forget his lines, but we could have those in the cars, you know. But for gay things, I think that, like, hey, girl. Yeah. Like, walking? What is this, 1800s? Walking? What is this, 1800s? You know.
And also, I would like... I also
Move,
would like,
bitch.
I also would like a friendly, are, like, Mac. Hey, just so you know, the light turned green. Like, I don't want to be hostile every time I remind someone that the light turned green.
Or just one like, that's like, well, I would have let you in if you had been driving faster. Okay? Don't slow down the flow of traffic.
It's just really long lines.
I need more from you.
Your mother wants you to call her. Please call her.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Are you in trouble with the law? Need a lawyer who will fight like hell to keep you out of jail?
We defend and we fight just like you'd want your own children defended.
Whether you're facing a drug charge, caught up on a murder rap, accused of committing war crimes, look no further than Paul Berggren.
All the big guys go to Berggren because he gets everybody off.
You name it, Paul can do it. Need to launder some money? Broker a deal with a drug cartel? Take out a witness? From Wondery, the makers of Dr. Death and Over My Dead Body, comes a new series about a lawyer who broke all the rules.
Isn't it funny how witnesses disappear or how evidence doesn't show up or somebody doesn't testify correctly?
In order to win at all costs.
If Paul asked you to do something, it wasn't a request. It was an order.
I'm your host, Brandon James Jenkins. Follow Criminal Attorney on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Criminal Attorney early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
All right. So they're talking about Whitney and how infuriated Lisa is because she went on a podcast. That is so crazy. She went on a podcast and called me a felon. I would never. You know, you're lying about me and I'm defending myself. That's the bottom line. So she's so disgusted that Whitney would say something on a podcast. And she's even more disappointed that Angie would go behind her back and repeat what she said about Whitney to Whitney. I mean, you said it on camera, but I get the sense of it.
Angie is like very close with Whitney, and I'm like, that's great, but like it changes our dynamic because like I don't want anything I say to her, just venting or sharing a failing, to be weaponized against me.
Yeah. So Bron was like, are you gonna talk to Angie? And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna talk to Angie. She asked if we can meet up, and I said maybe at some point after Aaron's.
Well, I love Angie, and I think that she wants to support Whitney, but it's also clear that Whitney's really messy, which she's admitted. But I also woke up in the middle of the night feeling like, did we totally gang up on Whitney? Because I was afraid that we didn't. So I want to really make sure that we did. Okay? And Lisa's like, no, we didn't. No. And Bronwyn's like, no, it didn't seem like a gang up to me because it felt like the way it kept ratcheting up, it was like, Whitney, like the whole time, like, do you want to see a healed Whitney? Do you want to see a healed Whitney? And everyone's, and then Heather starts to like cringe in the backseat. Like she doesn't like what Bronwyn's saying. But Bronwyn's like going off because she's like, oh my God, I'm in with like the cool girls now. She's like, I'm like, Whitney, like, do we practice this in the mirror at home? Like little tears were like eking out. I was like laughing so hard. I was like, it's just so trite. I like literally can't.
Do you want to see a healed Whitney?
She was laughing about it. And this is kind of a Heather thing where she does not like the new girls coming in and getting too heated too fast, you know? And it's also kind of a seasoned housewife thing where they like hate the new ones, you know, for no reason. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little, I think a little mix of that. But Heather's basically like, yeah, fuck that girl, you know? So first, but before she does that, we go back to a cooking class with Meredith and Seth. Okay, so they go pull up to a culinary school, and she's like, last year, Seth got a new position back in Ohio again, and this time in Columbus. So his company requires more for him, but he's here now, so I'm going to teach him how to cook for him. So,
we're going to learn how to cook a very difficult dish.
Which is, by the way, the most Meredith Marks sort of dish. Shakshuka sounds like her trying to actually say Shakira.
Does anyone have a, come on, someone put on some Shakira?
Like what, Mom? Shakira?
Shakira, yeah.
So they make some Shakshuka, and they find out that it's not just an Israeli dish, because they thought that was an Israeli dish. And Meredith is like, really? Because I saw it on Real Housewives of New York City, so... What are you saying about
Aaron? God, I forgot.
And yeah, that was our big thing. You guys, we have to try my shakshuka. You guys, seriously, did you like my shakshuka? You guys, I made shakshuka. What do you mean I didn't feed you? I gave you shakshuka.
I was going to make shakshuka. Yeah, so I don't know. For me, like, maybe I'm just being like a total snob here, but it's just funny to like... Like, I'm going to teach Seth how to cook. And it's like a very basic breakfast dish of like peppers and eggs. And so, well, I've been thinking a lot, you know, about my heritage and just how I feel about, you know, hatred and anti-Semitism in the world right now. And I've always been very proud to be Jewish, so I want to get... And he's like, what'd you say? What? But you want to get a... You want to get a... What? Oh, bat mitzvah. Yes, bat mitzvah.
And he's like, I am really at loss for words. But the fact that you're going to get to go into the middle of a dance floor and do the dollar dance, I just... This is beautiful. This is beautiful.
He's like, you're going to learn Hebrew and do the whole Torah portion and do the whole nine yards? Yeah, of course. If my toddler could get bar mitzvahed at the age of 2.5 years old, I think I can do it too.
Honey, you're just changing the Yiddish words to bathtub.
Well, yeah. It's my religion. I was doing it first. I was doing baths before the Jews, all right? If I need to get bat mitzvah to show them that, that's so bad.
The big twist here, Seth, is that this is not just a cooking class. This is actually a tasting for the reception I'll be serving. What? Shakshuka at the bat mitzvah.
So she's like, in Judaism, a bar bat mitzvah makes a person's coming age, and it's typically done at 12 or 13. Now, I know I'm not 12 or 13, but my filters are. So.
Seth is like, I am so proud of you. Thank you. You know, my family never put a huge emphasis on religion. Our roots in Judaism were always a heritage, and traditionally women were not bat mitzvahed. And it was not something my sister and I did, but we did, however, get lemon mitzvahed, which is where we learn how to hold a lemon together as a family and then make a white bean salad afterwards.
So he's like, yeah, you know, when you're Jewish and you don't get bat mitzvah, I mean, everything after that is just like emptiness, you know? So this is really, this is really, why that makes me laugh. It's just like, wow. Meredith, I never... just been such an empty vessel until today over this shakshuka. And it's all changing now. It's all changing for you.
I never knew what it felt like to have a big party when I was 13 and give out singles as party famers, so I'd like to fill that void.
Which I've is, by never the way, had my the opportunity experience. To audition DJs, and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do the shit out of that.
So what I'm saying is, starting tonight, we're gonna go hard and we're gonna go deep in Star Wars. So that way, my bat mitzvah is ready to go.
I can't wait to pick out my wedding dress,
honey. That's quinceañera.
Whatever.
Let's just get it done. It's for storyline. Let's just do this, all right?
I really hope that Meredith has a Star Wars themed bat mitzvah. That would be the best. Or
everyone, this is Darth Vader.
It's like, how dare you say ooh, that to Angie? I am not Darth Vader. I am a guest.
You want to see the real healing?
Let's see. So he's crying and he's like, I can't wait to talk dirty in Hebrew, honey. And she's like,
I was not expecting Meredith Marks having a bat mitzvah to be her arc for this season, and I am so excited for it.
I love it. You know it's real and totally touching and meaningful when you do it on your second episode of the season for a storyline. That's when it really counts. So Angie pulls up to have cocktails, and she's, you know, of course, dressed crazily, and she's there to meet Lisa. Now, you know, Angie's more comfortable because I've never seen her wear sunglasses this small. Like, I was worried for her. I was like, oh my God, is her face bigger? Like, what in the world?
I finally feel comfortable showing more of my forehead. So Lisa, they sit down and Lisa's like, you know what? For the past couple of years, Angie's been someone I talk to all the time because I care about her. I care about her feelings. Okay? And I've had her back. I take her side and I feel like I'm such a good friend to her. And it shocks me that she cares so little about our friendship and my feelings that she would take things that I share with her in confidence. I repeat them to Watney. It's not only upsetting, it's beyond hurtful. I'm like, Lisa, you've told literally every single person that you thought that Whitney was the like that you were upset that Whitney said quote unquote mean things about you on Nick Viall's podcast. This is like, you did not entrust her with some deep dark family secret here.
Yeah, but Angie is turncoating it. Angie is being like, I think Angie is kind of turncoated. I can see why she's pissed for sure. Yeah, but I think it's funny. And also I have to say, while we're talking, you know, waxing poetic, Whitney's best season so far. This is definitely Whitney's hero season. I know people online are finally mad at Whitney. I'm finally loving Whitney. I think this is so fucking hilarious. I love Whitney coming in with like her newfound confidence. I think it's so funny. The way she smiles after she gives like her plainly rehearsed lines, you know, I think it's just so funny. And I'm so glad to not hear about trauma for one season. You know what I mean? And I get it happens.
You're going to hear about, to say what you're talking about. She literally uses it this episode.
Well, she says trauma, but she doesn't go into it. You know what I mean?
Oh, she just, yes.
She doesn't like, it's not one, it's not a season that's actually built around all that. And I'm not like, hey, get your trauma out of my face. Even though I kind of am like that. Like, I get trauma as a part of life and all that. I just, you know, I'm tired of it. So it's expired. It's expired in my fridge. And so I'm glad she's moving on. I think it's a bigger, stronger Whitney. Ding. There. There's my hot take for Whitney for the season. I'm rooting for you, Whitney. Those are words you've never heard before, but I'm rooting for you, girl.
Angie's like, thank you for meeting with me. I didn't sleep well last night. I don't know how you slept. I was tossing and turning and turning and turning and turning and turning. It's a really big mattress. Takes a lot of turns to get off of it.
I counted Olympia Dukakis's all the way up until 1037, and then it was 6 in the morning.
But Lisa, you know, I left there and I don't think it really hit me till I got home how you guys were like, and this guy,
you guys, what does that mean?
It felt like a gang up, you three, you, Heather, and Meredith.
I didn't feel like it was a gang up. I mean, you took the conversation, me, Heather, and you had, and you brought it back to Batna. So, you and I have conversations. They're meant for you and me, and they're not meant for anybody else, Andre.
Yes, of course. Of course.
And you say things to me that I don't share with anybody else. And, like, that's what I need to make sure you and I still have, all right? I mean, are we Faji or not?
Faji. I told Whitney.
Is that how you pronounce that, like, that yoga?
I don't know. I always call it.
I call it faggy.
I don't know what I call it.
I think all gay people call it faggy.
Sometimes I call it phage. I don't know.
I
don't
know. I think you're allowed to call it faggy if you are also gay yogurt. So
it's an in joke. Angie's like, I told Whitney that Lisa said not because I thought Whitney was in the right for calling her a villain, but because I thought she probably owed her an apology so they could move forward. And Angie's like, listen, at times I do feel like I'm trying to do everything to prove that I am a good friend to you and Greek.
Yeah, but then, you know what? Then these extraneous things happen. It's like extraneous. Like, I can't even.
Lisa, you have made it harder at times, to be honest.
And she's like, yeah, you know, also other people in the group do have a fear that, like, Heather taking up for you. You know, Heather, she's like, everyone, I think, is afraid of you because look at how Heather had to take up for you because she was like, I need to save Lisa. And she's like, no. No one needs to save me. No one needs to save me.
And she's like, so because she's frustrated, you think it's taking up for me? She was taking up for herself. Heather was taking up for herself. I can handle myself. She was frustrated. Meredith was frustrated because the same thing keeps happening. And I feel like I'm getting labeled and this is where I close off.
Actually, she was saying frustrated, which really cracked me up. She kept saying, that girl is frustrated, and that girl too is frustrated. Everybody is frustrated, and I'm sick of that. I'm sick of all the fur. I'm sick of all the straining.
And Lisa, like, when she gets mad, she, like, develops a Chicago accent. So she's like, I feel like I'm being labeled and everything. And she goes, I don't know if Angie's only deaf when it comes to me, but, like, if she could stop trying to convince me to think exactly like her, and, like, I would, and would listen to me with the intent of, like, understand me, we would get a lot further.
And Lisa's like, okay, so just because I'm strong means I don't deserve to be heard. And it's like, no, you do deserve to be heard, but you may not realize you are talking over someone, or maybe you are talking louder than someone. What do you mean?
That's just who I am. What am I supposed to do? Look, I just talked over myself by saying that's who I am. This is how I talk, okay? I move my hands when I talk, okay? This is how I am when I'm passionate. I am me. I'm not changing. I'm like mid, like late 40s. I'm like Lisa Barlow. This is it. This is what you got.
So Angie's trying to explain to her that she's a little bit too much, you know, and she's Lisa's like, I'm Lisa Barlow, and she's like, yeah, I've seen this movie before starring Lisa Barlow, you're expected to just agree, and I'm not going to do that this time, because I'm in a movie where I'm married to a white person and my family is making a goat on the lawn and we have a wacky wedding that everybody loves. Ignore 2, 3, and 4, please. Were there 4 Greek weddings or 3? Right.
It's probably on like 7. There was a TV show too. It's like everything. Yeah. It's a whole franchise. It is really as big as Star Wars at this point. So Lisa goes, I know who the fuck I am, and I don't need everybody saying, oh, you have good sides, and like if people get to know you, they'll like you. And Angie goes, yeah, but why is everybody saying that to you though? Because maybe they have a perception, because it keeps getting perpetuated. It's so fucking annoying.
I love Lisa thinks that it's just like a meme. It's just like someone said it. Now everybody says it. Now she can't escape it, even though it's not true. It's like, bam.
Right. She has bad
PR. So Angie's like, but what if that is people's experience, though? Well, it's an easy out. If anybody wants to think I'm a fucking villain and a bitch and I'm self-centered, I don't really care anymore. I'll tie him to a fucking train track and wait for a train to run him over while I rob a bank. But that is villainous. How dare you, Angie?
I don't care so much that I'm probably going to get up and storm out of this restaurant. That's how much I don't care. So Angie's like, I don't think everyone thinks that, Lisa. She's, I'm over it. I'm going to go. I love you, and I hope we can continue this conversation never. Bye.
So then we go to Bronwyn's home, and she's putting a sweater on her dog. Here's another reason I don't trust Bronwyn yet. Puppy. That's not a dog that she's had that's like cute. That's a, like a brand new dog. That's like a little puppy. Am I wrong? I'm calling prop dog is what I'm saying. I'm saying she got a dog just to have something cute to be on the show. Like, oh, I have a cute dog too with sweaters.
Right, right. Yeah, that could be for sure. It was a little dog, huh? Yeah, well,
I think
yeah,
it was a puppy. It looked like, I mean, that dog looked new. It didn't have that look in its eyes. You know, anybody with a dog knows, like after 2 years, your dog finally looks at you when you come home and he runs around for a bit and then he just like lays there and looks at you with this look that says, this is it, isn't it? This is all there really is in my life. And you say, yeah. And there's like this moment a dog just kind of gives up.
That's okay.
There's I'll too like much you. Hope in that dog's eyes to be a grown dog.
So she's wearing this, like, she's wearing this, like, white outfit where she has her left sleeve is puffy and both her legs are puffy, but her right sleeve is, like, form-fitting. And I thought, like, it actually looked great on her. You know, I never talk about this stuff. I never talk about fashion. I thought it looked great on her, but honestly, it would drive me nuts to have one sleeve that wasn't puffy. I don't know if that's considered, like, chic, but it would drive me nuts.
Like, someone splooged on something and then removed a sock out of the equation. So like part of it was the shape is off. Like I need the full shape of the splat. That's a gross way to put it. But you know what I mean? It doesn't look, or it looks like a Gumby was run over, like a deflated Gumby. But you know what? I don't know.
I need to have the same amount of tightness around both of my arms. I need to feel like either both arms are flowing or both arms are constricted. But I cannot have I cannot have flowing fabric on one side and tight fabric on another.
Okay, that would literally make me mad. Well, I've already said splooge. So let me take back the splooge, okay, everybody? I take it back. Get it out of your brain. So here's what it looks like instead.
Stop perpetuating the splooge.
I have really wobbly arms because I don't work out. So it's like me, if my arms look one shape, but then I lie down and the shape that look one arm takes, but if I'm in the fetal position, the other arm doesn't look like that. It looks like one of my arm skins is splayed out all over the bed in a splat, and the other arm is not. It's like somewhat of a normal shape.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So we we meet Bronwyn's husband Todd, who to me looks like a combination of Beau Bridges and the dad from The Wonder Years.
That's a good way to put it.
And he's
I thought
like,
a little of your dad, honestly. I thought, really? I thought he looked like
Larry
a little bit. Yeah, Larry.
I was amused because we've met older husbands before on Bravo many, many, many times. Like the older husband. This is the first older husband that really, to me, was leaning into that. He's like, "Hello there, Baldwin." It's like, wow.
He's like handing her what's going on today? Which, by the way, I have on my desk because I'm also embracing it. But yeah, I agree with you. Like Tom Girardi was like, "Look at me. I'm still so sprightly. Look at me working so hard, getting on my suit at 6 a.m. I'm a hard worker." Most of them do that. This one's like, "I'm old. What do you want from? I'm old and I'm rich. Like, I'm going to get chubby and I'm going to wear weird golf sweaters." That's it.
Yes. And so Bronwyn tells us, she goes, "I met Todd almost 10 years ago. I worked in finance at the time in San Francisco, and I was supposed to meet a client for lunch. And Todd was sitting a few stools down from me at this bar. And he was just so funny. He was like, 'Palm Pilots are great.' And I was like, 'Sir, get out of here.' He's like, 'No, seriously, I love Palm Pilots.' And I was like, 'Palm Pilots? What? Are you like the CEO of Palm at some point or something like that?' And it turns out he was. I was on the floor laughing. And I just remember, you know, he asked for my email and I was like, email? And I remember thinking, oh God, maybe he's going to professionally mentor me.
Yeah. How'd that work out? And the guys at the desk were telling her, oh gosh, he's hitting on you. And she's like, nah, he just asked for my email, guys. Come on. Guys don't do that. They do when they invented the fucking Palm Pilot. He wanted to whip out his Palm Pilot and be like, look, I can email you on my phone. I'm emailing you from a telephone, toots.
Hold on. I want to get a photo of you. Let me pull out my flip camera. 1 second. So, basically.
Palm ever had a camera? How dare you? I remember the Palm. I had the Palm for a minute and it took forever to do. You had to like update it. We would all like wait for the updates. Like, guys, have you heard when the new Palm update's coming out? Waiting for it. Can we sideload that? Can we get like a? We'd like try and find it and like put it before the beta release or whatever on there. Oh, girl, hacking Palm Pilots way back in the day.
Listen, Todd was probably a great CEO. He really led. He was like, you know what? There's a change coming in the landscape of portable devices, and I'm gonna not do it. So,
well, he did marry someone a lot younger, so that is embracing the future in a way, right? Or is that embracing the past?
I forgot. It's embracing something.
Yeah.
But she goes, Bronwyn goes, well, Todd was an OG of the tech world. He was the CEO of Palm. So ask one of your elders about a Palm Pilot or a Trio or any of those things. That was Todd, which is hilarious because it's true. Like there are people who have no idea what these devices are. And us, we're like, oh yeah, Palm Pilots and Trios.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, now he pivoted and he does private equity. His hedge fund is based in New York. So I'd say he's there about 2 to 3 days a week, which is about 2 to 3 mornings I get to wake up without the room smelling like fart.
So this interior designer named Cody walks in and he's like, guys, what's going on with the furniture in here? Because it looks like... like, it actually looks like Todd has forged his, like, 2002 tech startup office and saved all the furniture and put it into their living room.
Yeah. Money can't buy you taste, I guess, because not much. It's kind of just a room where a lot of shit's shoved into it, you know? It's like rich lady with a lot of money and time on her hands. And he hates them. This designer fucking hates these people.
Hates them.
Is he wearing like a sports coat with the collar pulled up and an ascot, or is that just in my head? I don't remember what he's wearing.
In my head, it was like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was, but he definitely had that energy.
Yeah, he's like, so did we leave anything in the showroom or did we just shove it all in the house? Because this is embarrassing. Okay, my name is not on this yet. Okay, I'm new.
I loved this guy. I loved his disdain for what was happening in this house. So she says, so Gwen and Todd and I have lived in this house in Salt Lake City for like a year and a half. Todd would love it if we were already decorated. Todd's like, finish is better than perfect kind of guy. I'm not like that. So she basically talks about how they haven't really invited anyone over because it's not finished and it's starting to look kind of sus.
And Todd's like, I want to use some of the stuff that I've gotten from all over the world. I've got a fork from Vietnam that looks good. I collected a couple of gum wrappers in China. So that's been fun. A lot of antiques. And she's like, yeah. The really thing about, the special thing about Todd is like, he wants to make me happy, and he really does. Like, do I want a rainbow cheetah carpet? If I do, he'll let me have it. That's for sure.
Well, I actually carried the torch in the London Olympics, so I have to have my torch up.
Sure, honey, sure. I don't know where he got that story from. And but we photoshopped a photo of him.
I like that the gay's like, seriously? He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, he literally carried the torch in the London Olympics. The guy's like, when was the London Olympics? How many years ago was that? Before or after this mythical palm pilot?
Here's a life hack. If you mail the queen a free palm pilot, you get to hold a torch. So just a bit of advice for people.
And so he's like, I want to put my torch up. So Todd goes, okay, well, that's great. But maybe we should start with the... something else. And Todd's like, do the art we bought, do the art. So then we see some art that she bought. You know, this was like tens of thousands of dollars.
And it's gotta have been. It was a stack of chairs.
She bought it 2 days after they closed the house. And it's been boxed up for a year and a half. Can't imagine how you could keep this thing in a box. But it's some old rickety wooden chairs stacked up. And they say like some positive message in the middle, like, you're the best, most amazing kitchen I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like Gina's word art. It's like Gina's word art decorating, but with money.
But with Tamara's voice. Tamara, it's like Tamara stuck on a pile of chairs. Like,
you changed my life.
So she goes, there's a version of this in the Guggenheim, and it's experimental and new. I'm like, chairs are not experimental. So... I hate to break it to you. Chairs are neither experimental nor are they new.
She has a thing with being upset. Like, she gives herself more credit for having things that are other places, right? Like that outfit that she had that's like, Rihanna has this. And now she has chairs that are also in the Guggenheim.
No one cares, weirdo. Literally no one cares.
Do you think people
care? So they're setting it.
Maybe they do.
Maybe. It's probably like an amazing piece of art. It's probably like, that was designed by Goba. Like, Goba? So they're setting it up and there's all this like packing tape on it. So Todd's like, well, maybe we should get some scissors. And he's like, where are the scissors? And she's like, she looks at him and is like, you're going to make me look for the scissors? He goes, I'll go look for them.
Yeah, she goes, are you asking me to look for scissors? He's like, I got
it. It was such a power move. And he's like, okay. And he just goes off and took... He goes off up that staircase in the middle of the room that has no railings. Excuse me, you have an elder here in this house.
That's why she's leaving the fucking scissors up there. What do you think? She's like, I'm going to take away the railings. I'm going to send him upstairs for lots of things and just cross my fingers.
But the fact that she's so like happy-go-lucky, like, look at me. I've got like fun art and like fun clothes. And I'm like funny and I'm like laughing about things. And I like wear wacky clothes. You're going to make me look for the scissors. It was like that moment, that like one little evil note right there. I was like, oh yes, give me this lady right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. Stop elder abuse. So he rushes off, LOL JK, to get scissors, and they keep designing, and she says that they don't have any kids together. And she got pregnant with Gwen from a different relationship when she was 19, and that husband had no interest, so that made her too close to her daughter. So close that her daughter can't be honest enough to tell her to stop spending her inheritance on fucking rickety chairs with neon signs inside of them.
You know, she can tell me anything. She can talk to me about anything. But I think if she starts to move out and separate from me, I'm trying really hard not to let her know how badly that's going to hurt me. Like, but it's obvious that it is. I have a question. Do you think a stack of chairs would fit in a dorm room? I just want my presence there.
So she's like, oh my God, I'm so glad that we're doing my house because like it's such a sus vibe. Like people don't really believe that we even have a house at this point. So then we go over to Heather and Whitney at a crystal store because I guess Heather's like, oh, I guess I should be nice to Whitney today. I'll do something that Whitney would want to do. Crystals.
Yay. Yeah. And she's like, I'll get you a crystal under 500. So Whitney goes, I'm all up in my fills. And she literally says full on fills here.
She does.
I'm she's up trying. In my fills.
You've noticed that she's trying, right? She's like,
well, I have a feeling that there are things that I shouldn't be feeling.
Like she's really trying, probably in this scene, to not say fill, but she just can't help it.
She can't. She goes,
I'm all up in my fills about seeing Heather today. Like the Bezos party sucked. Our relationship is complicated, but we are very close. She's my girl, and there's only one way to get through things, and that is to work through line it.
And Heather's like, oh, can you show me a crystal that maybe would have helped us with last night's dinner? Oh, wow. I'm like, oh, gosh. She deserved it. Give me a break. And she's like, there's nothing powerful enough for that gang up.
Like the gang up you tried on Lisa Barlow when you accused her of doing sexual favors for the Utah Jazz.
Hey, Heather. I said that I wasn't positive about that 10 months later.
Whitney, it was not a gang up as much as we were all saying, yeah, it happened to me too, and me too, and me too. And you were just like, nope, 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 nope. And I was like, me too, me too. Were we associating you with a movement that happened in 2017 that was very instrumental to women who were taken advantage of and now we're making you sound like you're the perpetrator of it? Perhaps, but it did happen to me too.
Now listen, I'm not about to take any of your BLM. What? Your bull, I meant. Bull. Wait a minute.
Just associating Whitney with different political movements.
So Whitney's like,
well, so Whitney's like, yeah, but you guys were saying about I'm lying about feelings and not facts. You can't say that someone's lying about feelings. You are a liar. You lie about everybody, and you do not get to say, but it's my feelings. Fucking Whitney. What are you, five?
If Lisa would have listened to me, then she wouldn't have had to hear my feelings on a podcast, but her calling me a liar over my feelings is no different than me calling her a liar for being mad at me. There's no difference. Ha!
But she did one of her little smiles, like, yeah, really.
She's so happy.
I really logicked that one, guys. And so Heather's like, I'm just super frustrated with Whitney. And even though I love her, you know, it doesn't mean that I like her. Because she does a lot of damage. And then she just expects all of her friends to just kind of absorb it and recover from it. And it's like, we may be strong enough to do it, but only to a certain point. I mean, come on. Not even blood relatives can save you at that point.
Bottom line is, I wish he would have stood up for me a little bit more and not piled on.
Heather's like, oh, okay, well, I apologize for that, and I apologize for my part in your stupidity. But you do see that if three of your friends are telling you, right, that you see what we're trying to tell you. She's like,
I do see that. So, I mean, yes.
Listen, you're going to want to be around all these people again. I mean, everybody knows you're very socialist. Do you mean social? Sure. Whitney.
You know, listen, if you want to occupy spaces with us, like if you want to, whether it's here or just occupy Wall Street, wherever you're going to occupy, you know, you have to take accountability.
Whitney's like, okay, well, I wanted to have a trip planned, but I don't think I can take all of you with me because some of you want to accuse me of feelings, but... For those of you who don't, I was thinking of doing something because Trixie has a hotel in Milwaukee.
And she's like, oh my God, so
we're going to just go, you know, I just don't want to fight about anything. So we're not going to say gay. Is that what you're saying? I didn't say that.
No, we're going to have fun. Will there be tea parties? What?
So Whitney's like, Whitney's like, yeah, we're going to go to Milwaukee. So it looks like Salt Lake City, which had a storied path of going to, you know, less glamorous locations for its entire run. And then finally last year they got to go to Bermuda. It's like, well, congratulations. Next trip, Milwaukee.
You get to go to Trixie's new gay bar in Milwaukee. Party!
Is Wisconsin giving out tax credits to Bravo? Because we just had an entire Top Chef season in Milwaukee. So what is going on here?
Milwaukee, yeah, and they're also courting the gays, right? Because I feel like we were in Milwaukee. Were we in Milwaukee for a gay pride thing at some point? We were,
right? Gay pride was happening. And by the way, don't get me wrong.
I know it was a good gay pride. We're some hotties at the thing. It's like Milwaukee over there.
Like, Milwaukee is awesome. Don't get me wrong. I literally loved it. But it's just very funny because I think that on these Housewives shows, they go to like famously glamorous places, like going to Aspen or Paris or something like that. It's like, you're going to Milwaukee in January.
You're gonna do it, buddy. And Heather's like, well, I don't know if you can invite everybody because they might act up. Wait a minute. Well, Angie and Bronwyn can come, and now you can come. I really like Bronwyn. She's awesome, and she was super supportive of me.
My favorite sound effect. It was the lady at the Crystal Shaw shop going, in the background. She's like, sorry, just, they say take your shot. You got to shoot your shot when you can.
So then we see a clip of Bronwyn hanging out with Whitney. And Bronwyn's like, yeah, you know, at the dinner the other night, I was like, I have so much in common with Whitney. So I'm like, that was great. You know, I'm so glad we get to talk. You know, I was happy talking to you until it got interrupted. And Whitney's like, I generally was like, I love Bronwyn. I love people who are direct. And so I really appreciate your openness. Okay.
Wow. That was a great flashback of how much we've bonded.
So Heather's like, really like her? I want to give Whitney some credit here, but are we talking about the same Bronwyn? Because the Bronwyn I know does not like you. In fact, she was crying, laughing at you. It's just, it does not track.
So she's like, Milwaukee's just like Laverne and Shirley town, right? And she's like, Milwaukee's like, don't sleep on Milwaukee. Did I say it right? Who says that?
I think it's...
Don't sleep on Milwaukee, guys.
I think Meredith is going to want to go because she is going to be throwing a Star Wars themed bat mitzvah, I heard. No, it's Milwaukee, not Wookiees. Oh. Anyway.
I think it's going to be really fun. I just hope Meredith can come and she's not too tied. Apartheid? Are you saying apartheid? No. So then we go over to Meredith's house and we get Chloe and Brooks. This scene killed me. Meredith.
Hi.
Meredith's children. I love that Meredith has basically raised her children to only speak to her in like gay fan speak. It's like the only way she can hear is if you're like adoring her as a gay fan, especially Chloe. I died. It's who is the this house person? Built on why is she fry. Not on every minute of this show?
These kids are so funny. They are so vocal fry forward. Like, hi, mom. What are you doing, mom?
Well, I'm making bath bombs because, you know, it's very important to me to know how to make bath bombs. Meredith Marks jewelry isn't just stuff taken from the internet. It's actually me making jewelry. So here I am with some Arm & Hammer baking soda.
They call bath bombs the shakshuka of the beauty world. So here I am. I'm going to cook it up. And they're like, Mom, where are your goggles? She's like, oh, I need safety goggles. Mom, here are some ski goggles. Remember last season when you drove with ski goggles? Yeah, that was like a hilarious moment, Brooksy. Thanks for reminding America. We're just going to do the horror. In honor of Whitney Rose, if you know what I'm saying.
So, you know, I've been talking, as you guys know, I've been talking about bath bombs for the last year, 10 years, decade, millennia, as we all know. And my first word was bath bomb. And Whitney has decided she's going to make a bath bomb. So, Well, that should be fun for her, huh?
She sounds like a bitch.
She goes, but I thought that you taking a bath is creepy. Well, it's creepy, it's dirty, everyone knows baths are my things, you know, whatever. So did you, like, pick the bone with her, or are you just letting the bone fizzle?
What? No, no, I...
Bones don't fizzle? Fuck are you talking about?
If they're in a bath, they do. Little known fact. That's why the chemistry in the bath bomb is so important. You do it wrong, and there can be a problem. By the way, in the middle of this, Meredith and Chloe are talking, and Brooks is, like, fully in the bath bomb process. He is, like, sitting there mixing everything together. We've never seen Brooks so motivated and concentrated. So Chloe's like, Meredith goes, oh, no, I was just like... You know, I brought up to Whitney, and then Whitney was just like, oh, I've been doing math bombs for a long time. Oh my God, Mom, I love when you impersonate her.
Listen, yeah, here's my impersonation of her. Yeah, my jewelry is about spiritual agony.
Yes, girl.
It's hilarious.
Mother, literally, but still.
I'm just glad that you guys are here to help me with this. Make these bath bombs. It's a real family experience. And afterwards, everyone's going to get their own white bean salad.
She's the boss.
Oh, and guess what, guys? I'm going to start studying to be a bat mitzvah. And Brooks, like, emerges from his, like, his mixing and pouring. He's like, you're kidding, right, Mom? Like, gross. You're too old to have a bat mitzvah, Mom.
Yes, like, no, I'm not kidding. Why would I be kidding about that, Brooks?
Slay, bitch. Slay. Slay mitzvah.
That's like...
You're gonna have a slay mitzvah.
I don't think people do that at your age, Mom. Sorry, not sorry. I've never heard of that before. I thought you were supposed to do that when you're like 13. Sorry. You've kind of aged out of it. Okay, boomer. I'm Roxy.
Yeah.
What so happened, like, to my little toddler?
Respectfully, like, why? Well, I'm much more emotionally in touch and mature, and it's my choice, and it's what I want. It's not like, oh, this is you do it because you're 13. It's you do it because you want to, and you need a storyline that's not, oh, my creepy boob-loving husband is in Ohio.
So you're not doing it for the party and the coins? Absolutely not. I don't need any gifts, but what I do need is a dance floor and Moni Moni playing on the stereo.
And Chloe's like, yeah.
Did you tell Dad yet, Mom? Yes, Dad was so excited. He found the closest boob cake he could find and motorboated it for 5 minutes.
She's the Jewish boss.
Mazel tov, Mom. Mazel tov.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's get feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon.
Shannon. Out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.